Just as an example, here's an entry from February 15th, 1913. Though I could pick almost any, they all are very similar. Read in the morning. Received reports from Mamontov, Bieckendorf, and Count Gaiden, all military officers. Walked for 1/4 of an hour. Received Kokovtsev, this was the prime minister. And at 12:30 went to the Great Palace, where I received the Emir of Bukhara and ate breakfast with him. Went home at 2 p.m. Skied with my daughters for a long time. Grigori, which is Rasputin, came and spent more than an hour with us. At 6, I received Maklakov, that's the Ministry of Interior Affairs. In the evening, I worked and then read aloud to the family. What he discussed at all of these important meetings, what his thoughts were, he doesn't tell us at all. But the important thing to emphasize is that this diary was never meant by him to be a medium for reflecting or talking about ideas. The diary was, and he was taught to write this such a sort of a diary, an exercise in self-discipline, an orderly record of an orderly existence. In general, we know that as a person, both public and private, Nicholas tried to imbue his life with discipline, self-discipline, orderliness, systematization, with order in everything. For example, perhaps trivial, but I think telling, Nicholas II tried to maintain a work schedule that was fairly rigid and unvarying. A regular schedule of meals and reading reports and meeting with officials and physical exercise and time with his family, all as much as possible by the clock. In a similar spirit of personal order in his life, Nicholas insisted on doing all his own secretarial work. He liked to keep his papers, like his life, in order himself. Even the smallest details of his life, according to those people who knew him, were a perfect example of the concern with personal discipline in order. As one of his close friends, a lady-in-waiting to his wife, a woman named Anna Vyrobova, put it, Nicholas was the tidiest, most systematic of men. According to her, he kept every pen and pencil on his desk in perfect straight lines. Even his bathroom was in perfect order, and he made sure of this himself. Now, one sees this same love of order in more substantial areas, in particular, his attraction to military culture. Now, I probably don't need to remind you of how central everything about the military was to the Russian political tradition, and especially to the image of the ruler as Grozny, as a mighty and awesome ruler. And in part, the centrality of the military to Russian politics is obvious, is true in the obvious sense. The military was the central instrument and sign of Russian autocracy's power and might at home and in the world. But in more subtle ways, and I think ways that were important to Nicholas II, the military was also an expression of cultural values, one might even say of ethics. It was a symbol of individuals, for all their chaos and diversity, made orderly, rational, disciplined, control. Just look at marching troops, and one can see this achievement. Later, as Russia's ruler, Nicholas made it clear that he loved to be among soldiers, and, by the way, in uniform. In fact, he and his son and his wife and daughters were honorary commanders of a whole variety of elite regiments. They were given uniforms by each of these regiments, specially tailored to fit them. In fact, they had whole closets full of honorary uniforms, and they loved being in them, especially Nicholas did. He often included this in his letters and diaries. And he also loved spending time, and he spent a great deal of time, at military reviews and ceremonies and inspections and observing maneuvers. It's clear that these times with the military had great personal meaning for him. For example, in his letters home, which he wrote extensively to his wife, Alexandra, he constantly remarked on how beautiful, his word, military dress was, on the beauty of military ceremony and practice. In fact, to give one more specific example, while observing some very large army maneuvers near the town of Kursk in 1902, he wrote to his wife, Alexandra, and by the way, I should say these quotations are not translations. Nicholas wrote almost entirely to his wife in English, since his wife Alexandra was Queen Victoria's granddaughter and had an English education. Nicholas knew English well as well.